Amen. Send the light. Yeah, it's been said with, especially with Halloween, you can curse the darkness, or you can raise a lighthouse. Send the light. And that's how we do a trunk or treat. So that's our opportunity every year here at Fairhaven Baptist Church. Hey, we're glad you're here this morning. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. Wednesday night, we're talking about the fact that since the church was started in the first century, there have always been false prophets, false preachers. We get tired of them. False teachers, false leaders, false shepherds, even false Christs. Jeremiah in his day pointed out the prophets who prophesy falsely. Ezekiel exposed the foolish prophets who followed their own spirit. Jesus called out the false prophets and false Christ who even show great signs and wonders. Paul pointed out the hypocritical liars while they're teaching demonic doctrines and through seducing spirits. And Peter spoke of the secrecy, as Randy's been speaking on Sunday nights, bringing out the destructive heresies, like the dogs that eat their own vomit. Then John spoke of many antichrists. They're already existing in his day. Jude called them deluded dreamers who defile the flesh, actually calls them blemishes and scabs. And then Jesus points out the danger of, you know, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, like sheep's clothing, wearing these robes and looking very holy, maybe flying to distant lands to even carry their message. Zechariah said, they wear the wool to deceive. They're dressed up like sheep rather than the shepherds. And then John 10, Jesus said the false prophets, they climb in to destroy the sheep. Acts 20, you find out that Paul says, after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And so Paul said, for 3 years I cease not to be among you and to warn you night and day with tears. Now here in Matthew chapter 23, there's no scripture that's more direct about this, more strong, as Jesus Christ penetrates this darkness with his judgment about that. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this evening, or this morning, Lord, with eager hearts, Lord, to learn more about you. And then, Lord, as we study your scripture, as we know, Lord, you're not only among us, but as temples of the Holy Spirit, you're within us. It's like, Lord, you just balm and you soothe and you speak and you minister to our spirits as the Word of God is opened. And Lord, we thank you that as a triune God, you minister to us in every way. Thank you, Lord. May we be good pupils in the Holy Spirit's classroom through the Word of God. Be our teacher, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's the greatest exposure of false teachers in Matthew 23, as Jesus gives the greatest assault against them ever amassed. And no wonder, it's like Lyle is teaching us in Sunday school about the 3-year ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he comes to this temple, and you can imagine the restraint of the Lord for 3 years, and now up to this point. But now, shortly before the cross, he's got something to say, and it's strong, with a great denunciation of these false teachers. Now, the Passover is there, and then Jesus will soon be on the cross. There's conflict here now with the scribes and the Pharisees, always there, always badgering. Pharisees being the legalist of the day, and salvation by works, and then the scribes, it's apostate Judaism, their own self-righteous works. And so now Jesus gives his final sermon. It's in the temple through this continuous conflict. But now he's not speaking through parables. He's speaking very directly to them. In his hearing are the scribes and the Pharisees, and also the crowd. He wants to warn the crowd there about the false teachers and the disciples. And these are the ones people needed to turn to for the truth. So verse 1, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. And so Jesus directs this message of judgment, and of warning, to warn the rest of the crowd. Verse 2, saying, scribes, see how he points them out, and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now, here are several points about condemnation and also about character in people's lives. But in his character point, he points out six marks of bad character of false teachers, false leaders. Each synagogue had what they would call the chair of Moses. And that would be the supreme seat of legal authority. You know, the universities have this chair. It's a chair of philosophy, the chair of science, chair of history, chair of literature. And that, what that really means is this is the leading expert in that area of learning for the university. So they have the prime seat of authority. Now here in the synagogue is the seat of Moses. So whoever has that chair has the authority. And they would speak cathedra, and which we hear today, ex cathedra, the seat of authority. And so the scribes and Pharisees, they have the control of the chair of Moses. But you know what? They aren't called by God. They have really no authority before God. Here's what they lack. They lack authenticity. Leaders without authenticity. Self-appointed usurpers of what we find here in the Word of God. And so Jesus calls them out because these Pharisees are violent and they're hostile. Hostile to God, hostile to Jesus Christ. And so here are the words here as Jesus threatens their authority. Online there's a post I read a lot called Leaving Mormonism for Christ. And there was Mark and another guy on there, and they were posting false doctrine. And so people leaving Mormonism could come to a Christian page. These guys would post on their false doctrine. One called himself a prophet. You have Mormons leaving the false prophet in Salt Lake City and coming to a page where there's a false prophet. They don't need that. And so I was challenging him on that, and nobody was deleting them. So I said, I'd be willing to join on this page, you know, help out with the administration. And so I got put on there, deleted those guys. And then one of those guys later on was attacking me, and so I just blocked him altogether, some guy named Mark. So first deleting his posts and then blocking him. He's preaching the Benny Hinn stuff. It's really bad. But people that preach false doctrine. Now, from the Sermon on the Mount, you know, they were saying, Jesus speaks as one having authority. Because he's powerful, and he's precise, and he's dramatic, and he's dynamic. And then Luke 4, remember, he's in the synagogue, and he's standing up to teach and preach. Now they're threatened by his message, and so they hate his power, they hate his authority, and so now they are trying to kill him. So here's the conflict. In John 15:16, Jesus says, yes, and there will be persecution. In fact, 16:2, he says they will actually put you out of the synagogue, and the time is coming when whoever kills you will think that they're doing God a favor. And so that's how bad it gets. In the book Thy Kingdom Come, the author writes of modern martyrs. Now it's got some age to this, but he's saying like there's a couple hundred thousand martyrs, statistician David Barrett in the book there. He said, since the crucifixion of Jesus, there have been over 43 million martyrs killed for their faith. Comes from documentation of German news agency IDEA. And then this German prof says, no other religious community has ever been persecuted as hard as Christians. I say, well, don't forget the Jews. But then he's talking about with the rise, you know, talk about more today with the expansion of Islam and Hinduism, the extremist, he says, you know, you got all these dictatorships, see what's going on. But that was in the year 2000. And so much, much more recently. And so Jesus is looking at these false spiritual leaders. They're self-appointed experts, but they're not called by God. And the problem is a lot of times these people have no accountability. And that's a problem too. And so in Jeremiah 23:21, Jeremiah writes here from God, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. There's a lot of false prophets. 27:15, for I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name. And 28:15, then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hanani the prophet, hear now, Hanani, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Now it's a problem. And then in 29:9, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. And that's what the Watchtower says. It was actually 1972, April Fool's Day. Is there a prophet on the face of the earth today? Yes, there is. It's footstep followers of Jesus Christ, known as the Jehovah's Witnesses. And my, whoever has prophesied more false prophecy than the Jehovah's Witnesses. But they claim to be a prophet. The Mormons claim, how can you have a church without a prophet? They got a prophet. One thing about their prophet, through the years, with all their false prophecies in the past, the whole world watching them, they learn one thing.
Keep your mouth shut. You might be a prophet.
You're more like a CEO. Don't prophesy. Because they can't get it right. Joseph Smith could never get it right. Then in Jeremiah 43:2, it talks about the proud men and saying to Jeremiah that he's speaking falsely. They don't like what he has to say. So they say, the Lord our God. They claim God, huh? All these false cults and everybody, religions. Claim God. They claim to be the one true religion and all that kind of thing. So they say, they call on the Lord and they say, you speak falsely, Jeremiah. You're not sent to from God. And so you got all these people that claim to be spokesmen, claim to be ex cathedra, even the mouth of God upon the face of the earth. But are they called? Are they true to the word? No. Amen, Charlie. Are they led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit? There's no authenticity. So they're charlatans. And they say whatever they want and get a following. Newspaper read, we're a fast-growing faith, actively seeking new members who believe as we do that all men should seek the truth in their way by any means they deem right. As a minister of our faith, you can set up your own church, apply for exemption from property and other taxes, perform marriages, exercise all ecclesiastical powers, and we can tell you how. Get sizable cash grants for doing missionary work. Some transportation companies, hotels, and theaters will even give ministers reduced rates. Get the whole package for $100. This ordination is declared to be legal and valid anywhere in the country. Wow. You see the phonies? You know, just briefly on TV, we had Crazy Horse, and it just really annoys me, all this conflict. I'm really disappointed in our government in the past that people felt like they had to have that gold. Why do we need that gold? especially when it's in Indian territory. Why do we need that gold? Or why couldn't we just, like, give them a 1/4 of Montana up there, South Dakota, and those? Why couldn't we be better to them? But over the gold, we have all this bloodshed. And then to say, well, America's, you know, the white, Washington's a white man's government. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. We got black people there. We have Spanish people there. We have Asians. One thing you hear so much is they lied, American government. Yeah, they broke treaties. And doesn't that annoy you when you see what happened? But is that so weird? Because it's in human nature. And you can look at any levels of society today, whether it's government or, you know, politics or religion, universities. They lie. The media, it's all over America today. We're drowning in lies. So you got all these people here, they're not true. But I'll tell you what, every true pastor is authentic and called by God, gifted by God, of godly character and faithful to his word. If they are a true pastor, one thing I hear, you know, I'm very happy about, it speaks as loudly about Fairhaven as it does men of the past. But the Fairhaven people will say, we have been taught by great pastors. Mm-hmm. We've been taught the truth. Our men stood the test of time. And I'm just honored to follow them. Many of them are welcome back here. But you see, authenticity, they had that. Secondly, you find these people lacked consistency in verse 3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. So what did Jesus say? I want you to do what they tell you? Well, now he's referring to the chair of Moses as they articulate the truth of God's word. And the implication is here, anybody who speaks the word of God and they've got it right, you know, they may not be a true minister, but their God's truth is still truth, even if it's spoken through a false prophet, it's no less true. And so the word of God is not the liar, but the man is the liar. And so you can trust the word of God. And that's the issue. Follow the word of God. But the problem is here in a synagogue is they would read the word of God, and then they would go way beyond it. And so what they would have, these Pharisees, is volumes of man-made rules. And they lacked consistency. If you're consistent, you stay by the book. And so they did not. It's not sola scriptura. And they would add to the word of God. How do you do that? Well, claim visions. And like this dude on Leaving Mormonism for Christ. By traditions, by revelations, it exceeds the word of God. TV preacher says, I received a new word from God. No Christian should ever die accidentally or by disease. Never die at any point until you desire to die. And so you earn total control here, see. When you die, how you die, where you die, and why you die. If not, you are not living your Christian faith. And he said, there's a verse for it. What verse is that? So here's Paul, you know, when he said in the scriptures, like, I'm now ready to be offered. It's like saying, no, this is when I'd like to die. And this is why I'd like to die. And this is how I'd like to die. Please kill me anytime. That is not what Paul is saying. What kind of nonsense is that? But the crowd. You know, the crowds are exciting. Thousands of people are real excited about it. So he says, don't you say it was God's will when your child died. Don't you say it was God's will when your parent died. Don't you say it's God's will when someone in your family died. The Lord hath shown me that it was never God's will. That was a person's will because they were not willing the wrong thing at the wrong time. So is that biblical? 3,000 people agreed, roughly. So you look at these false teachers like Christian Science. Christian Science, is it biblical? No, it's not Christian. Is it scientific? It's not. It's not scientific. What a false name. So you got the health and key to the scriptures, Mary Baker, Eddie, and all that kind of thing. The cat, they attach all these cult teachings, all this bizarre, unto the word of God by visions and revelations, interpretations. All that goes beyond scripture. And so you look for consistency. Are you standing by the word of God? Every true spiritual leader will. You're content to be confined to the truth of the word of God. Amen. Now thirdly, amen, Charlie, they lacked integrity. Look at verse 3 again, latter part. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So why do they lack integrity? They say, but they don't do. So they sit in the seat of Moses. They have the Mosaic truth, but do not do what they say. And so don't do what they do. And so no integrity. They're corrupt. Like Randy's been preaching on Sunday night, 2 Peter, go to Jude. And so it's the description here of teachers that lack authority. In fact, here's what the Bible says. They're called leaven, whited tombs, whited walls, graves concealed by grass, broken pots, dross, tares, wolves, wells without water, false prophets, presumptuous. You get the idea here, God has no time for this. Amen. Natural brute beasts are going to be destroyed. Filth, spots and scabs, immoral, covetous, cursed children, clouds to whom the darkness is reserved forever, deluded dreamers who defile the flesh. Spots in your love feasts, clouds without water, trees without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. They're like the raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars reserved for the blackness of darkness forever. God says they're murmurers and complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speak great swelling words, and they cover themselves with sin. They're sensual. So it's a dark picture. The point here is, no matter what they say, no matter what they've been saying, that is who they are. You can find them on TV. So they're the masked men of evil. And it's all theatrical, the so-called goodness. So they run their mouths about God's truth, how they love God and follow the Bible. Once in a while they do. Once in a while they're right about that. But so is a broken clock. Twice a day it's right. So they have no authenticity, no call from God, no consistency. They're not following the word of God. They have no integrity. They do not live what they call other people to do. And furthermore, they lack sympathy. Look at verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So the picture is here, you know, the man that unmercifully loads his beasts down with all kinds of things to carry, just to load. So that's what the scribes and the Pharisees brought, just a tremendous pile of rules and regulations, possible demands. Out in Utah, we had Happy Valley. Everybody, a lot of people at least knew about Happy Valley. What's happened? Is that where people are happy? No, that's where people are on a lot of prescription drugs. I mean, the abundance, not that we don't sometimes need them, but the abundance and the abuse of prescription drugs from Salt Lake City down to BYU, about 45 miles, where a lot of people are on these drugs to get by. But you can't hardly blame them, because the Mormon church lays upon them so many rules, and people are so depressed and so hopeless trying to get by. And so they're loaded down, are guilty without deliverance. And that's what the scribes and Pharisees are doing. No way to find comfort. And so it's always the heaviest when you've got these works righteousness kind of religions. So anyone in a false religion, under these false teachers, trying to do the work of salvation, it's unbearable. And it's false. Well, here in the latter part of this verse, verse 4, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. The word here be remove. Remove the burden. They will not. They don't want to. So there's no sympathy. There's no care, no love. Heartless, abusing, using people, manipulation. Tremendous load. Who can you trust? You know, Jay Sekulow, it's on the radio now. They're talking about the Uranium One problem because previous administration sold the Mountain States uranium mine to Russia. And so now you have Iran raising up this anti-ballistic shield and with uranium, where they get that. Well, we gave Iran, remember? Was it millions or billions? We gave it, couldn't give them enough. They took the money to buy uranium now from Russia, because they got Russia, because Russia has uranium, because we had uranium, and we gave them we sold them the uranium. So they have about a fifth of the uranium rights in the United States of America. They are not our friends. They are arm in arm with Iran. And that's the last day's march of Gog and Magog headed towards Israel. They're enemies of Israel. People are so gullible. And so that's what's going on in America today. You see it, you don't see it much in the news. That's gullible too. It's like people in the media, don't you even care about real news and real danger? If not for you, how about your kids? And so 2 Corinthians says here in chapter 11, verse 20, for you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, you know, these liars, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man, what? Smite you in the face. Smite you in the face. That's who? Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. That's who it's talking about. The deceitful workers. They can eat. People are so suckered into this, so blind, so committed, they can hit you in the face and you still go on with it. They can be traitors to America. Treason. Selling our power to the enemy for their personal gain. Oh, but we still like them. Now, how is that? You can even die with this. Well, they're spellbound, loaded down, he says, with unbearable burdens. No compassion at all. What about your children? Not even compassion there. So they lack authenticity, consistency, integrity, sympathy. They use people, they abuse people, they manipulate people. And their goal is all selfishness. Well, fifthly, in verse 5, they lack spirituality. For all their works they do for to be seen of men. Seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and large the borders of their garments. Now, interesting, four times in the Old Testament here, the Jews were to bind the law upon their foreheads and their hand. So it's symbolic, you understand? You'd have the Word of God in your mind and be ready for action with the hand to live out God's Word. And so, God, for your thoughts and for your behavior, follow God's Word, see. But about 400 B.C., the Jews decided that, you know, they needed to take the internalized truth and make it an external act. And so they started building little boxes and with black leather on them. And so they'd also put in like four portions of Scripture from Exodus 2 and Deuteronomy 2 and strap them on their arms and their hands and their foreheads. They call them phylacteries. And the Orthodox Jews still do that a lot. And so it's now the external. That's the issue. You got to have the phylacteries. That's a sign of being spiritual. And they take these little thongs and get the writing of the letters of Shaddai or El Shaddai on their arm. It's all ritualistic. And so You know, what we find here from Jesus, he's exposing them. You even enlarge your phylacteries. You make bigger boxes so everybody be noticing you. And back in the Old Testament, Numbers 15, they had tassels on their robes. You know, it's to single out God's people from the unbelievers, the pagans, when you're identifying there as Jewish. But now the identity, here's the parade. You even make bigger tassels so everybody will see you. It's like you got magical arms to, or charms to keep away evil. So it's amazing. Today, what do we have? One of the big things in America, what's your sign? What's your sign? Exceedingly popular. I mean, it's taking young people by storm. That is all just fraud. What is your sign? That astrology bit doesn't even pan out as you look at, you know, what has happened in space, because the heavens have changed since it was designed. But who's thinking? And so what it does is it's leading people into the devil's religion, into the occult. What's your sign? Good night. Are people thinking? But there are thousands, maybe millions of young people, and not young, not just young, older people, that gullible, that they believe there's something in all those tarot cards and, you know, your signs and all that. But it's Jesus saying, what you got is nothing but external show. It'll never change your heart, never change your soul. It's without spirituality, what Jude is saying in verse 19. It's without the Holy Spirit, false teachers. What do they do? They're just on their big ego trips, on their own parade. But the Spirit does not dwell within them. Lastly, let's just turn one verse, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 12. Because we learn from God exactly who they are. They're corrupt. Galatians 6:12. Is there anybody corrupt in America today? Man, who can you trust? Well, I trust you. Thank God we know people we can. There are a lot of liars. Galatians 6:12. But as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And that's what it's all about, my friend. And we can pick up here, not next week, because we'll have our precious missionaries here, and they're really good missionaries. You'll want to be here to hear the Stillwells next week. I remember when I was a young missionary, we already knew we were going to Alaska at the time, and or we were in Alaska, and I get to hear the Stillwells, and I go, oh, if I could just pick my own field, I think I would go to Peru. Not just because I'm picking out something geographic on the face of the earth, and not that that happened to other missionaries, but it happened with the Stillwells. Wow, they're God's people, and God is using them. I can't wait for next week, because I haven't seen them for years and years and years. But I'll tell you what, for years and years and years, they've been making more testimonies. They've been living more faithful. And God has been using them in amazing ways. I want to hear about Peru. And you do too. Let's be here to support them. Yeah, we do with our tithes and offerings. But support them with our hearts. And as we learn about their hearts, we'll learn how to pray for the Stillwells. And it might be that God would call someone from our fellowship through the Stillwells to go to Peru and serve God there. So let's back them up 100%. But as Paul is saying here, there's all that falsehood, but they're just avoiding the truth of the cross of Christ. We need Christ. We don't need them. We don't need false teachers. We don't care about what's your sign. If you're riding for the brand, the sign is the cross. That's my sign forever and ever. We love the cross. Our Heavenly Father, help us, God. Help us be discerning. Help us to help others, warn others, not to go after the devil's religions, not to go after the occult, not to be lost in astrology. But Lord, for the millions today who are, help us, dear God, to rescue them through your word. We plead with you. God, would you use us? Use us. Tuesday night, Lord, as we welcome people with kind greetings, candy, send them away with a track, maybe an invitation. God, can you use us? Fairhaven wants to be used. Please, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.